Good evening, friends. Good evening, back there. It's tough being young, you know, you have to sit in the back row. Oh, well. All right, so a quick quiz before we get started here. I'm thinking of a man and a woman in the Bible. The woman's name starts with P. The man's name starts with A. They're in the New Testament. Great guess. I just led you down the trail, though. So it's actually not. This is to help you remember. We want to talk tonight about two people, a woman whose name starts with P and a man whose name starts with A. They're not related like Priscilla and Aquila, but they are related in the sense of a common theme. Okay, so the woman is in Romans 16, so we'll start there in Romans 16, Romans chapter 16, and greeting from the saints in Mechanicsburg. Ann said I was from the assembly in Harrisburg, which I was, you know, back in 1996, before we came here. Yep. So anyway, greetings from the saints in Mechanicsburg. Appreciate your ongoing prayer for the work there. The Lord's giving help with it. You can pray, if you think of it, about ministry to Messiah students. Some unique opportunities that the Lord's been giving there. All right, so the one we want to think about is Phoebe. Phoebe, she's in Romans chapter 16. And two verses are in the Bible about Phoebe. It says in Romans 16 and verse 1, I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Cenchrea is next to Corinth or almost part of Corinth. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. So Phoebe, maybe you've thought about Phoebe a little bit. Michelle's mom was Phoebe, right? Yeah, I don't know if I know any other Phoebes. Who is Phoebe? Phoebe was a woman. She's a sister in the Lord. She was a believer, right? Because she was a sister in the Lord. She apparently was in Corinth area, Cenchrea, but was going to Rome, where this letter was going. Whether she was part of the party that took the letter, I'm not sure. Maybe. It kind of would make sense. So, you know, Corinth is in Greece. Rome's pretty far away, especially in the ancient world. It'd be a significant travel. It's not like they'd see each other over coffee or anything like that. So Paul says, well, I'm going to introduce Phoebe to the believers in Rome. And this is kind of his introduction of Phoebe to the believers in Rome. You know, some of the believers seem to know each other. Priscilla and Aquila had been in Rome at one point, and then they're at Corinth, and they're in Ephesus anyway. So there were definitely some traveling around, and saints would get to know each other, which is great. But apparently he didn't think they would know Phoebe, so he wants to introduce her, if you will. So he says, I recommend to you our sister Phoebe. I commend you our sister Phoebe. Maybe you could think about some situations where you might recommend something or someone. Right? You might recommend a certain restaurant, right? Because they have really good gyros, right? So you recommend that. So here, you know, recommend a person. What would you recommend a person for? Well, they'd have to, if you're going to give a good recommendation, because sometimes, you know, for jobs, you ask for recommendations, and you're hopeful that it'll be a good recommendation, right? So that you'll get hired. Here's Phoebe being given a recommendation by somebody. Now, the recommendation she's given, we all could think, wow, if I was moving from one city to another and Paul was going to write this recommendation for me, that's something to strive for, that he would be able to say these kind of words about me because I'm going to be going to a new town, and there's an assembly there, and the believers might not know me, and I'm going to take this letter, this note with me that says, oh, here's a note from Paul. This is what he had to say about me. And this is what he says. I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, who's a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you receive from the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. Just think about that. That's quite a recommendation, isn't it? That he could say that about Phoebe. I sometimes think, and maybe I hear these things because of being near a Christian college, and so there's these, quote, debates that go on somewhat about, quote, women in ministry. And this would be kind of a main verse that they go to try to debate, are there women deaconesses? Because, you know, the word servant could be translated deacon or minister. But I think to myself, I think Phoebe would be pretty disappointed that that's what you're getting from this verse. You know, she wasn't too interested in whether she had an official position, right? She helped lots of people. That's what she did, right? She wasn't trying to have an official position as a, quote, deaconess, which would be inconsistent with 1 Timothy 3, where it says the deacon should be a husband of one wife, so evidently not female deaconesses. But by having that kind of discussion, it's like you're kind of missing the whole point. After all, deacon, you know, seems to have some kind of flavor that maybe you'd say, well, there's someone significant. But after all, the word deacon means servant, right? So like, this is like the people that wash feet, to use the Lord Jesus illustration, right? So to be called a deacon is to be called a servant. To be called a, quote, minister, it's the same word. It's just a servant. It's just a different word in English. So a servant is somebody who serves. They wash feet, to use the illustration again that the Lord Jesus used in John. So what did Phoebe do? We don't actually know what she did. You know, what was it that, how is it that she served, that she was a servant of the church in Cenchrea? It must have been notable. You know, everybody would think about Cenchrea and they think about Phoebe and how she served the people of God. But it wasn't like notable, like, you know, her name was on the wall or the building was named after her or something like that. It's that she helped lots of people. And so how can you not notice Phoebe? Because she probably helped you. How did she help? Again, we don't know. It doesn't actually say how she helped, except that Paul says, well, she helped me too. Well, maybe she was an encourager, right? That's a really helpful thing, being an encourager. Maybe she came alongside and encouraged Paul and many believers, encouraged them forward. Maybe she helped in practical ways, right? Maybe she brought food to people or something, or helped in some other kind of manner. But one thing's for sure is that she helped, and she helped a lot. She was the kind of person that you'd love to have in your assembly. Someone that's just going to go around and help people a lot, and help lots of people, and just a servant. I mean, probably don't want her in the assembly, right? I mean, what a great person to have around, right? So if I could get that kind of recommendation, I'm moving to a new town, and that note would be written about me by a faithful servant of the Lord, like Paul says, this is what Phoebe's like. You should receive her heartily. Receive her heartily in the Lord. And in fact, if she needs any help in her helping, help her, because it's a good investment, right? Now, good helpers are good investments, right? If I give resources to a faithful person, they'll get used well, right? They're not going to just eat it, you know, absorb it on themselves, in other words. They're going to use it well for the glory of God and for the blessing of other people. And so he says, if she needs any kind of help, I mean, maybe he's thinking very practically, she's moving to a new town. You probably would need some kind of help, right? You might need to figure out where you buy things or whatever. So if she needs any kind of help, absolutely help her, because she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. So the word saints is holy ones. So receive her in a manner like a holy person just came into town. Receive her that way. Now, what we know in the New Testament is that all believers are saints. Right, so we should receive every saint that way, if you will. But he's really laying emphasis on this. In 3 John, it says there was these traveling preachers, apparently. And John says, you did well that you send them on their way worthy of God. Wow. So like someone comes to my home and maybe stays there for a few days, and then they're going to send them on their way. I'm going to send them on their way worthy of God, as if God came to my house. I'd want to make sure that I send them on their way, probably with, you know, more than popcorn, right? Like, they probably want to make sure they have a good meal for the road, or and some cash, probably, or whatever. Directions, so they know what, right? Send them on their way worthy of God. And receive her as worthy of saints, like the way saints should be received. Now, welcome her in a way, in the Lord, in a way that's worthy of saints. So what do you think about that? Would you, you know, be satisfied that people think of you as a helper? Like you help people? Like, is that something to think, oh, well, that's kind of subpar, you know? I'm just a helper. Because there can be an emphasis in our modern era that you're supposed to be a leader. Everybody's supposed to be a leader, right? Now, if everybody's a leader, you wouldn't have any followers, so then no one actually would be a leader, right? Because you have to have followers if you're a leader. Right, everybody's supposed to be a leader, right? Now, we do need leaders, granted, but I think there's a bit of an imbalance in our era about that. Actually, helpers are very useful. Super valuable, aren't they? People that just go about serving people, extremely valuable. We're thankful for them. Yeah, so... You know, so maybe you know, you think about your heroes of the faith. You should make sure that Phoebe's on that list. Like Phoebe was an exemplary servant. She was excellent at washing feet. She was excellent at it. She just nailed it in serving people. You know, like if she was going to serve you, it was going to go well. Like she followed through on it. She did it with diligence. She was ahead of you, even thinking about that you had a need. That's how good she was at serving. You know, Paul one time in 2 Corinthians, he kind of facetiously says, because he was getting criticized, that he was kind of not so impressive. He says, hey, I snuck in and served you without getting paid. Right? That's probably what Phoebe was like, right? She's just sneaking and serving. You're like, wait, what? What just happened there? Right? That's how good she was at serving. The saints here would know Bert Mast, I think. So I find that Bert Mast is so good at Romans 12, where it says, outdo each other in showing honor. Like I'd be saying, you know, Bert, I was taught at a conference out in Kansas City, which is kind of sort of in the neck of the woods where he is now, in Nebraska. Not really that close, but. Anyway, I met some saints who were from his assembly, and they were speaking well of him, and so I was talking to him on the phone, and, you know, I said something positive, you know, about him, and it was so quick how he could ricochet that, like, back to, yeah, I'm so thankful how I learned that from you, Bruce, when I was in Mechanicsburg. I'm like, come on, brother, that's not even fair. I'm trying to compliment you. Yeah, so, like, to be that good at serving, right, that you could, like, sneak in and serve people, and they didn't realize it. Wow, that takes some humility then, too, and some actual love and some actual having the Lord in view. Like, I want the Lord's approval. I love people. So I'm not doing it for being noticed. I'm not doing it so people pat me on the back. I'm not doing it so to get announced up front. So-and-so did a great job on such and such, you know. No, just that's a great helper of many people. She didn't have time for worrying about whether she was going to get recognition. It's because she was going to help everybody. And she just buzzed around and helped everybody. So what a great example to want to imitate in Phoebe. In Phoebe. Now flip over to Colossians. Colossians is our man's name that starts with A. And like I said, they're not necessarily connected in any direct way, except in this idea of serving. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. So I read this verse to point out that the letter that came to Colossae also was going to go to a neighboring city, Laodicea, as he says here. And you, for your part, read my letter that's coming from Laodicea. Verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so that you may fulfill it. Now, Archippus comes up in one other place. It's in the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. So he's only got two verses also. He's mentioned here in Colossians 4, verse 17, and in Philemon. which reads, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So generally, this is understood that Philemon and Apphia were husband and wife, and Archippus was their son, because the way he says, and to the church in your house, seems like he's talking to a family, right? Philemon, Apphia, the wife, and then Archippus, the son, the church in your house. So if that's accurate, which it seems to be, Archippus is Philemon's son. The church was meeting in their home, probably this church that was in Colossae. So Philemon, I don't know, how old was he? In his 50s maybe or something? Archippus was the next generation. So maybe he was in his 30s or his 20s. So just to kind of get a little visual of what we're talking about when we talk about Archippus. So back to Colossians 4. Tell Archippus, see to the ministry. Some translations say, take heed to the ministry. Now the word ministry is the word service, right? Or way of serving. Pay attention to, take heed to, see to the sphere of service which you've received in the Lord. So the Lord entrusted you with some particular ministry, some particular way of serving him, and you need to see to it, take heed to it, pay attention to it, so that you may fulfill it. A few things we could observe from this. One is that it could be potentially embarrassing, right? This letter's written, they're reading it in front of the church. It's also going to go to their neighboring church, you know, in Laodicea. And right in the letter is this, say to Dean, wow, right? So it's kind of a public exhortation. Tell Archippus, say to Archippus, see to the ministry which you've received in the Lord, so you may fulfill. We'll come back to that idea. So see to the ministry. So flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. When we think about ministry, I think these verses are helpful. Phoebe evidently had a ministry, right? A servant has a way of serving. A minister has a way of ministry. It has a ministry, right? What the ministry was, the Holy Spirit chose not to tell us. Archippus evidently had a ministry. What the ministry was, the Lord chose not to tell us. Somewhat helpful, right? Because then we could just apply it to ourselves. If, you know, if it was a specific ministry, maybe that related to the first century, or that related to him and how he was gifted, we could say, well, I have trouble identifying with that, right? But it's left open so that then we can kind of hear this as the Holy Spirit saying to us, tell Bruce, pay attention to the ministry you've received in the Lord so you fulfill it, right? And you could apply, put your name in there, right? Tell so-and-so, pay attention to the ministry you've received in the Lord that you fulfill it. You see it through to completion. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit shows up in the Christian's life, in the functioning of the church, in various ways, by giving various abilities, gifts, spiritual abilities. Some have the ability to teach, some have the ability to preach the gospel, some have the ability to help, some have the ability to serve, etc., etc. So those are the abilities. But not only does the Holy Spirit give different abilities, but the same Spirit, but the verse says then in verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. So as we think about the functioning of the body of Christ, different members of the body, there's different abilities. Someone might have a certain spiritual gifting, but not only does the Lord arrange the spiritual gifting, he arranges the outlet for that gifting, the ministries that they might function in, right? Just to use illustration to lay hold on a little bit. So say you were gifted in teaching. The teaching gift could show up in lots of different ways, couldn't it? You could teach children, right? You could teach college students, right? You could teach by public teaching. You could teach by private teaching. You could teach by writing, right? So anyway, teaching could show up in lots of different ministries. Of course, there's different geographies even, right, where you might teach, people groups you might reach. But that's just to use teaching as an example. But the point is, that's the gift to teach. But the ministries we also want to see as coming from the Lord, So when he says to Archippus, see to the ministry you've received in the Lord, right? The Lord gave Archippus some ministry, and Archippus was supposed to pay attention to it and make sure he did it well, make sure he saw it through. So we could ask ourselves, okay, so if this is true, not just of Archippus, it's true of everyone in the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12, I should legitimately ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to be doing in the sense of ministry? Maybe you've discerned how you're spiritually gifted, but what about how does he want you using that gifting? What sphere of ministry has he entrusted to you? What way of serving has he entrusted to you? Now, he might have entrusted more than one ministry to you, more than one outlet, if you will, for the abilities that he's given you to bless the people of God, to honor the name of the Lord. He might have given you more than one outlet. And the challenge is, pay attention to it. Be diligent in it. Do it well, as to the Lord, because you've been entrusted with it. See it through to completion. Take heed to the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Now, think about the exhortation then, to pay attention to, or to take heed to, or see to it. Like, what's in the idea of taking heed to the ministry? I've already used a few words, but certainly one word would be diligence, right? If you're going to pay attention to something, you're going to be diligent in that. Flip over to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. This would be kind of an opposite exhortation from Hezekiah to some people who had been given responsibility in the work of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 11. So they've been entrusted with this responsibility related to the temple and the worship of the Lord. And he says, my son, 2 Chronicles 29, 11, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and to be his ministers and burn incense. So we could think of the phrase, do not be negligent, as similar to take heed to, pay attention to. It's said negatively. So if I wasn't taking heed to the ministry I've been entrusted, I'd be negligent. I'd be negligent. You know, a person who's taking heed to it would not have to be told to do it. They'd be paying attention enough that they would initiate doing it themselves, right? If I'm paying attention, then I notice and I do it, right? Because I'm taking heed to it. I'm paying attention. So see to it. Don't wait for others to prompt you. So you think about perhaps ministry that you've been entrusted. Are you doing it with diligence? If I'm going to do it as to the Lord, I'm certainly going to do it with excellence. Right? I'm not going to do it sloppy. It's not going to be a duct tape version of the job, right? It's going to be done well, because this is to the Lord. So I'm going to do it with diligence. I'm going to do it with excellence, because I'm paying good attention to it. But he says, that you may fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry, that you may fulfill it. Now, if anybody has ever done anything, they know, especially projects, physical projects, you know that 95% of the project isn't that hard. It's the last 5%, or maybe even 1%, that is really hard to be diligent in. We did a kitchen project. Did everything. It was all fully functional, looked good. Mudded, sanded the ceiling. 3 years later, we painted it. That's what I'm saying. Like, the last 1%, the last 5% is hard, right? To see things through to completion. So if you've been entrusted with a ministry, like, don't do it well enough that nobody's going to notice. Because actually, nobody noticed the ceiling. I did, and Amy did, right? But other people didn't notice it, right? But you don't want to do the ministry the Lord has entrusted you just well enough that nobody will notice that you didn't do it completely, right? You're doing it to the Lord. So do it well. Do it with excellence. Do it complete. So I've worked in, like, the utility industry, which in utilities, they get buried, right? The public utilities. So that nobody's going to know that you did a sloppy job probably for 40 years. You know, you'll be retired. That's an expression people use. Hey, I'll be retired by then, right? That's not how we should serve the Lord, right? We should do things with excellence. They shouldn't find duct tape around the pipe under the ground down there. Or that you used like some cup that you had over lunch just to put the pipes together. That's not how you do the work, right? You do it well. Up at Greenwood at the August conference, the Geikemas were the children's speakers. And on the last night, we have them present to the adults, and the kids do a little presentation as well. And they do it with enthusiasm. I'm talking about the Geikemas. The kids do, of course, too. But they do it with enthusiasm. That should show, right, if I'm doing this as to the Lord. But it illustrated to me another attribute that we'd want. If I'm really convinced that this is a ministry the Lord's entrusted me with, is persistent, because they've done it for 41 years. You know, it's one thing the first couple years to do it with enthusiasm, right? But to keep doing things as the Lord for 41 years, it really has to come from this conviction that this is from the Lord. The Lord's entrusted me with this. So I'm going to do it with diligence. I'm going to do it with excellence. I'm going to do it with persistence. I'm going to see it through to completion. I'm not going to... It's going to be very important that I'm not doing it not only for the people to notice, but I'm not doing it if people encourage me, right? Because, I mean, people should encourage one another, absolutely, but I can't be depending on people encouraging me. I have to be depending on the Lord. I have to say, well, the Lord notices. Lord, you need to help me with this. If you're feeling discouraged, say, Lord, I need encouragement. I'm feeling discouraged, right? Now, maybe he'll send somebody along to encourage you, which is great, but you can't do it only if you get encouraged, right? Only if people tell you you're doing a good job. Yeah, that won't last. That won't last. So see it through. Do it with diligence. And a lot about serving, about ministry, is that a lot of it's not seen at all. It's kind of like the bird utility. It's just not seen. If you're entrusted with a responsibility, you know what needs to get done. Other people might not know what needs to get done, right? And so you're going to have to be self-disciplined to do it, even if nobody else tells you to do it or reminds you to do it or points out that it needs to get done. You know what needs to get done, and so you're going to do it. Self-motivated, if you will, as before the Lord. Just to give an illustration. So my mom, when she moved down from the mountains down to Philadelphia, the assembly she came to needed a pianist. They didn't have a pianist, apparently. Well, she knew some of the songs, but she didn't know all the songs. She had learned the piano some. I think she was 19. So what she did is she disciplined herself to play through the hymn book every song so that if that song got called, she could play it. Now, that didn't happen in one night, right? She didn't play through the hymn book in 1 week and learn all the songs and get good at playing the songs even, right? It's not like clunky playing. This is like good playing. So that's like a ministry that was entrusted. It doesn't have a name. It wasn't like Lois Holzhauser Piano Ministries, right? It wasn't titled that. There was no donations involved. You know, she didn't get any money off. It was just a ministry entrusted in the Lord, right? Uniquely to her, she was fitted for the job. And the Lord said, I want you to do this. And so do it with excellence. Okay, well, that means I need to have to practice the piano. To sit down whether I feel like it or not, whether it's been a long day or not. You know, I'm going to work at it. So that I can do it well. I think that's a really good practical example. Because an awful lot of ministries are like that. They're just, I'm going to have to have the fruit of the Spirit that motivates me to do things well as to the Lord. Because I see it as a responsibility he's given. And so much of it is unseen, right? She was home playing in her apartment or whatever, playing her piano. Nobody was seeing her doing that. But the thing with that is, if she hadn't done, people would know. If she did practice, people probably wouldn't know or wouldn't notice, right? Like if you do something well, people generally don't notice, unless it's like the Olympics or something, right? But I'm just talking about like playing the piano. Like you support the singing, people don't notice if you don't do it well. I mean, if you do it well, they notice if you don't do it well, right? But to get from not doing it well to doing it well takes a whole bunch of unseen effort. Right? And so we'd learn to discipline ourselves in that way. So it's critical then, take heed to the ministry which you've received in the Lord. That's critical, isn't it? Is that I see this is something I've received. Who do you receive it from? Well, you received it from the Lord. Right? The Lord had entrusted him with the stewardship. something to manage. This is your responsibility. I want you to manage this. Now, you don't manage it on your own. You manage it with the help of the Lord, right? The help of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives you help with the ministry. If he gave it to you, he thinks you can do it. Not on your own, as you depend on him, right? But he entrusts you with a ministry, but you have to keep the Lord in view. You've received it in the Lord. You have to think of it as a stewardship, too. This is something I've been entrusted with. It's not like I just don't feel like it anymore. This is something that was entrusted to you by the Lord. You have to talk to the Lord about whether you don't feel like doing it or not, right? It's a responsibility from him. And so I want to make sure that I'm doing it well because it's in the Lord. But it's not just accountability. That's accountability, which is good. But it's also dependence upon the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord, right? Isn't that great that the Lord would entrust you? Said, I'd like you to do this for me. Whatever it is, I'd like you to do this for me. Like, whoa, who am I that I should serve the Lord? What a privilege that I could actually do something that's of any use to the Lord, right? That he'd give me that privilege to serve him in that way. And so, sure, I will do that. But apparently, it must be possible that we can get, I don't know, do we get sloppy? Do we get tired? Do we get worn out? Whatever it is, so that the Holy Spirit thought Archippus needed some encouragement, or a nudge, if you will, right? Or they use the term of the Hebrews 10:24, consider one another to stimulate one another to love and good works. So we're actually supposed to do these things, right? We're supposed to be looking around, like, you know, Vivi could use a little stimulation. Like, the King James says provoke one another. I think that's maybe a little strong, right, in modern English, right? But stimulate, so like a poker, you know. That doesn't even sound good, right? Maybe I'll encourage her. Get a little swift. No, probably won't do that, right? Anyway, stimulate one another to love and good work. So, but it's interesting that it's prefaced by consider one another. Ah, so that means I'm going to have to think about how would this work well? And to think, I don't know Vivi very well, so I'm just picking you out of the blue. But like, how does Vivi tick such that if I did try to encourage her forward in love and good works, it would be effective, you know? So consider one another. Be paying attention. Maybe you notice people that are getting tired in ministry, you know? And so I'm going to encourage them by some way. Maybe a note. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text. Whatever it might be. Maybe a conversation. I pray about, Lord, could you work out a conversation that I could have with someone? Because I noticed I'd like to encourage them forward in the Lord to keep going in what they've been entrusted with the Lord, to love the people of God and to do good work. So here's a kind of a practical example of Paul stimulating Archippus, if you will, to love and good works. He exhorts them. You know, maybe there's a time to exhort even, right? Listen, you've received this in the Lord. You need to keep going. Did the Lord give this to you? I mean, I was there when it happened, maybe, you know. Like, I know that was from the Lord. So keep going. Maybe put on your Phoebe hat, too. How can I help you to keep this going, right? How can I come alongside to help you forward in seeing it happen? All right, so what are we saying? We should be happy to serve in the body of Christ. We should serve as one who's responsible as a steward. That's so helpful if I can think about I was entrusted with something. The Lord entrusted something to me, a responsibility, a role, a way of serving that he's given to me, that I have the privilege of serving. I'm going to do it dependently. I'm going to trust in the Lord for that, to him to help me with it. I want to be willing to accept others exhorting me to excel in it. Because Archippus needed to do that, didn't he? He needed to accept that Paul had his best interest in mind, that he was trying to encourage him forward. And, you know, maybe the Lord wants us to encourage others forward as well, but, you know, we want to make sure we're wearing the shoe ourselves. If other people want to stimulate us to love and good works, we want to accept that. We want to receive that like it's from the Lord nudging us forward. We want to value saints who serve. That means we're going to have to pay attention a bit, aren't we? So that we notice Phoebe. We notice how helpful she is to so many people. And encourage her, but maybe even point it out to people. Do you notice Phoebe? She's a great example. Imitate her. You won't go wrong if you imitate Phoebe. You know, value serving saints. Just serve, not seeking recognition or position or acclamation or even encouragement. Just serve as to the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And excel at it. Do it really well. Do it really well. You know, if the Lord has given me something to do, I gotta do it well. Including the boring parts of it. Anything boring in life? Yeah, it is. Anything hard? Yeah, all those things. If I've been entrusted with it, I'm gonna do it well. If I can keep the Lord in view, right? That I'm serving Him. May the Lord encourage us. So maybe a couple closing questions. What ways of serving have you been entrusted? What spheres of ministry, what ministries have you been entrusted? I found it a little challenging preparing messages like this. Yeah. Bruce, take heed to the ministry you received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. If you're going to exhort other people, you better exhort yourself, right? What ways of serving has the Lord given to you? Because according to 1 Corinthians 12, He's given it to everybody. There's spheres of ministry. And they come from the Lord. The Lord gives them, right? Now I invent a ministry. It's like the Lord, I mean, it might seem like I invented it because the Lord gave me the idea. He gave me the burden. He gave me the zeal for it. But it shouldn't be just my big idea. We want it from the Lord. So a way to kind of answer that question, you could say something like, I've noticed the Lord put on my heart and has opened opportunities to help in blank. You know, the Lord put it on my heart and He opened the opportunities that I could do it. And so I need to do it. I need to do it well. And then a second question, not just what ways of serving, but applying this Archippus exhortation is, how could I be more diligent in it? How could I be more diligent as a steward that's received this in the Lord? God's given it to me. You know, a few practical things related to that. Am I letting things drop? Am I doing things substandard or sloppy? Am I sticking at it? Am I continuing to work hard even when it takes a long time? Anybody identify with any of those questions? If not, maybe you need to get off the couch, right, and start working, and you'll find that these things happen that you're like, man, I'm kind of done with this. You know, have you fallen into the mistake of thinking you need words of praise? We're thankful that people say encouraging things, but you don't want to look for those. You'll get discouraged if you do. You know, we could think, if the Lord came today, would He be able to say, well done, well done? That was just what I was looking for. And one of the things that's encouraging in this is that, you know, we're really just responsible to do whatever the Lord asks us to do. That's encouraging, right? We don't have to do a lot. We don't have to, like, the Lord doesn't judge based on quantity that you do. It's just whether you're faithful. What is He giving you to do? You do it. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be about. He's not going to say, well, how come you didn't travel overseas or whatever? Maybe if He wants you to, you ought to, right? But if He hasn't given you to do that, you're not responsible for that. But whatever He has given you, what He wants is faithfulness in it so that He could say, well done, well done. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the challenge of it. And we do pray that each one of us might really have that honest heart to ask You, Lord, are there ways that I could be more diligent in the ministry or ministries that You've entrusted to me? That I could be more that excellent servant like Phoebe was, who just was so good at helping people. It was notable. Are there ways in which, Lord, You'd like us to excel more and more? That we could get better at loving the people of God and loving the lost and abounding in every good work? That we would, perhaps there's ways that You want to challenge us to see something through to completion. Maybe we've done a good job so far, but we need to take it across the finish line. So give encouragement, we pray. And You know everything about everyone here, and so we commit to You, You're applying these truths in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.